Amen. Thank you, Carol.
He is faithful. Praise the Lord for that. Well, in John chapter 3, we have a familiar story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, of course, the Bible says he's a man of the Pharisees. He's a ruler of the Jews. He obviously knows the Bible, and he's a very intelligent man. And then Jesus gives him a statement that he really struggles with. And he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, Nicodemus has, he's recognized, he says to Jesus in verse 2, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. He says, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And, I mean, he is showing a lot of promise there. He's pretty smart. I mean, honestly, you have to recognize in our world today, very intelligent people would not say what Nicodemus just said there. I'm talking about smart people. I mean, intelligent people. I'm talking about philosophers and doctors and people that have education. They would not recognize that Jesus is, first of all, that he's a teacher come from God. And they would also not recognize that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. In fact, so many of the people like that today, they want nothing to do with Jesus. You talk to them. In fact, Dale and I were talking about soul winning and going to maybe wealthy people, and it's like, we don't have time for this, we don't want to hear it. You know, I mean, Nicodemus was a pretty smart guy, and he recognized that Jesus was certainly from God. And you know, in a lot of people's ideas, well, that's enough, that's good, all right, perfect, he's saved. But Jesus says this, he says, whoa, wait a second. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't, it's not possible. It will not happen. It cannot take place. Well, yeah, but wait a minute. He's a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews. He knows his Bible. He recognizes Jesus is a great man. I mean, surely, no. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And a very, very simple statement. I like verse 10 later on, because Nicodemus can't understand it. In fact, Nicodemus makes the statement, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And we all read that and we all think, not hardly. That ain't happening. He just, it's not coming to him. But Jesus asks him, he says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Don't you get it? Don't you get it? You know, folks, salvation is a miraculous work of God. And I want to show you that today. I'm preaching a message entitled Birth and the New Birth. And I'm going to show you some things today, and you're going to see that our salvation is, it's not just religion. It's not just a process. We can't learn so much and then all of a sudden it happens. It is a miracle of God. It is a new birth. Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today. If there's anyone here who's not saved, Father, please save them today. Help them not to leave here lost. Help it to be so clear to them that they will recognize their need for Christ and that they'll be saved. I pray for Christians that you'll challenge our hearts. You'll teach us some things maybe we don't understand. You'll help us to understand some things about our salvation that'll be a blessing. And that all of us would leave here different. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I mean, this is a dilemma of Nicodemus. And I preached about Nicodemus not long ago, talking about work salvation and all of that and the difference and everything. And I don't want to talk about that today, but it's just, you know, Nicodemus cannot get it. Yeah, you ever talk to somebody who is not saved, but they're very religious? They have a hard time getting it. You know, they're very religious. Well, I've gone to church all my life. My dad was a deacon or my dad was a preacher and they've got all these different things and this list of things that they have done. And, you know, the Bible says you must be born again. Something has to happen supernaturally to you. Well, yeah, but I've got a baptismal certificate. I got a church membership certificate. I got all these different things. I mean, come on, I've got all the proof in the world. No. You must be born again. You have to be born again. You have to be born from above. And Nicodemus scratched his head and said, "How you can't? That's not possible. You can't do that. You can't be born again," Nicodemus is saying.
He says, you know, he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, that's being born again. And Jesus explains it. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he has to be born, first of all, of water, and that's being born from your mother. That's the first time. And then you have to be born from the Spirit of God. It's a miraculous thing. By the way, that first birth is a miraculous thing too. Honestly, I mean, you know, nowadays, we fathers get to go in and watch, and I mean, it's an amazing, amazing thing. It really is. You know, I remember the stories of dads of long, long, long ago waiting out in the waiting room, you know, pacing up and down and everything. And you know, I didn't do that. I was right there. And I'm telling you, you talk about a miracle. You talk about an amazing thing that is taking place when a little baby is born. That is an amazing thing. But I've got even a greater miracle for you, folks, and that is that second birth. That second birth. Don't sell it short. Don't think it's nothing. Don't say, oh, okay, well, that sounds simple enough. Hey, listen to me. It is an amazing miracle of God Almighty when a person's born again. If you have not experienced that today, you may be religious, you may be a member of a church, you may be a member of this church. But my friend, if you have not been born the second time of the Spirit above, then you're lost without Christ. You cannot go to heaven, very clearly. And Nicodemus struggled with that. And I want to make it very simple today. How many of you here were born? Okay, those that didn't, were you hatched? They find you under a rock. All right? We all were born. Everybody was born. So if you were born, you can understand how to be born again. Amen? I mean, everybody here was born. Everybody has experienced that. Everybody, I'm sure you all have your own little stories about all that. And but if you're born, and this is what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus. Nicodemus was so smart, and he was such a deep thinker, it was hard for him to grasp being born again. And Jesus is trying to point out to him, you know, you're making this a lot harder than it really is. The first birth was a miracle. The second birth is a miracle as well. Let me talk to you about birth and the new birth. Number one, birth is God's will. Birth is God's will. Method of reproducing is found in the book of Genesis. Very, very clearly. There's no question about that. Talks about God commands man to replenish the earth. And that makes it very clear that women must give birth. I mean, that's just that, and we all understand that. Unless you believe in the stork and the cabbage patch and all that kind of stuff. Those of us who understand that, I mean, it's very clearly that God, it's God's will that there is a birth. And guess what? The new birth is also God's will. The new birth is God's plan. The new birth is the way God meant it to be. You have to be born the first time, which everybody here was, and then you have to be born the second time by the Spirit of God, and that is God's will. There's no question about that. You must be born again. In fact, he says in verse 7, marvel not. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And it is God's will. It is God's plan. It is God's method of Christians, of people becoming a Christian. It's to be born again. It's not joining a church. It's not doing good works. It's not getting baptized till you shrink up like a prune. It is being born again. It's not going through catechism. It's not learning how to recite all kinds of little phrases and statements. Now listen to me. It is not people voting on you. Listen, it is simply you must be born again. It's God's will. It's God's purpose. It's God's plan. There isn't any other way to get to heaven. There's no other way. Birth is God's will. It's God's will to live. You need to be born. Okay, you had to be born the first time in order to go through your life. Amen? I mean, flesh, your flesh, you had to be born to live your life. You had to be born. Now, you were obviously living before you were born. We know that. We know the life inside the womb. That is a life. That is a person. But to go through your life, you had to be born. And guess what? The second birth, to live a life in heaven, to go to eternal life in heaven, to have a spiritual life, let's put it that way, you have to be born the second time. That's so simple to understand. That is so simple. And yet Nicodemus struggled with it. And sad to say, most religions don't get it. You must be born again. It is God's will
to live. Well, I'm living a spiritual life. Not if you've only been born once. If you've been born once, you're living a fleshly life. If you've been born of water, if you were born from your mother, which if you're here, you were. You know what? If that's it, if that's the only time you were born, you just have that one earthly birth certificate, listen to me, then you're going to split hell wide open because you must be born again to have a spiritual life. You say, well, I'm a religious person, and so was Nicodemus. You say, but I'm a good person, and so was Nicodemus. But I'm just saying to you, Jesus made it clear to him, in order to live a life for the Spirit and in the Spirit, you have to be born of the Spirit. You're born the first time, you're born of the flesh. And we all qualify. All right? But you have to be born the second time, born of the Spirit to live a spiritual life. And you know, God has a wonderful, wonderful life for you spiritually. And that's the second thought here. Birth is God's will to live, but it's also God's will in order to have all that God wants you to have. You know, if you're lost today, one of the saddest things, certainly it is a tragedy that a lost person goes to hell. I'm afraid Christians have kind of forgotten about that. I'm afraid Christians have sort of forgotten Luke 16 is in the Bible. When it talks about the rich man, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. In hell, two words ought to change your life. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He was in hell. It wasn't in his mind. It wasn't a dream that he had. It wasn't here on this earth. No, my friend, it was a place called hell. And what a tragedy that anybody goes to hell. But I think of another tragedy that would bother me as an unsaved person, and that is this. You're missing out. You're missing out because certainly being born the first time, God had something for you being born as a person on this earth, and you were born where you were born, and all the circumstances were there, and certainly there was a purpose in that. But oh, listen, He has so much for you if you'd be born the second time, if you'd be born again. To have all that God wants you to have, you're missing out on that if you're not born again. You are missing out. I understand it's bad enough you go to hell, but it's just hard to imagine how much you're missing out on. That's why people turn to drugs. That's why people do all kinds of terrible things to themselves. Why people commit suicide. Why there's so many, the prisons are full. Because I'm telling you, people are missing out on what God has for them. Birth is God's will so that He can accomplish in you everything that He has for you. Lost people, do you understand? The unsaved person has no future other than hell. But even day after day after day, that's why, you know, I'll have unsaved people will say, well, you know, I don't seem to have a purpose in my life. Salvation gives you a purpose because God has a purpose. It is God's will that you be saved because He has something for every Christian person. Oh, He wants you to get saved today if you're not saved. And Christian, understand, you were born again because God had a purpose in your life. God has something for you to do. Birth is God's will. Number two, birth is another's work. You know, how many little babies, you know, they get old enough to talk and they say, boy, I did a great thing being born. Huh? You understand, you had nothing to do with your first birth. Do you understand that? My wife, with her fibromyalgia, years ago, she was in a car wreck, and so she had to go through all these different stages at Mayo Clinic and everything, and they were trying to find why she had her pain. And one of the things they did, they had to do a psychological evaluation, and we just get a big kick out of those things. To make a long story short, she wanted to tell the people that when they started questioning her, I remember a heart beating. I heard a swoosh, 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 swoosh. And all of a sudden I was rushing out into the world. Now, that's what I'd like to tell some of these people. They write it down. Wow. Really? But anyway, the truth of the matter is, you had nothing to do with it. You had nothing at all to do with it. You just were born. Right? You can't take credit. Wow, look what I did. No.
Guess what? It's the same thing with the second birth. See, here's Nicodemus. Nicodemus has enough plaques on his wall. I mean, he could have wallpapered his wall with all his certificates. You know, he had it all. And none of that had anything to do with his second birth. None of it. He could not, you cannot, I could not do anything to be born the first time or the second time. I didn't have anything to do with it other than call upon Jesus to save me. And he saves me. And I'm born again. You know, imagine little Throckmorton after he's born looking up and saying, look what I did. That's why it's so foolish for any of us to think we had anything to do with our salvation. Well, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, sure I would. Well, how do you know? Well, because I joined the church. How foolish that is. Well, because I got baptized. How foolish that is. Well, because I helped little old people walk across the street. How foolish that is. That's like saying, I had something to do with my birth. No, God miraculously saved you. Miraculously, you are born again. You are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And God does the work. Jesus died on the cross to make it happen. And God does the saving. The Holy Spirit transforms you. You're a new person. A new creature. Isn't it interesting that if a child said, boy, I really did a good job being born, the parents would look at him like, you got to be kidding, because they know better. I'm amazed at how Christian people sometimes want to take credit for their salvation. And God in heaven has to look down like, I know better. Listen to me. You were lost. You called upon Jesus to save you, and he saved you. And he lifted you up out of the miry clay, and he set your feet on the rock. And he did it. And we're born from above, born of the Spirit. Birth is another's work. God planned it. God provided it. God offers it to you. And you can claim nothing as to your own works. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of our, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, I want to get saved today. You know what you have to do? You have to come to Jesus and recognize that you are lost on your way to hell and realize he died on the cross to pay for your sin and call upon him to come into your heart and save you, and he'll do it like that. And it happens just like that. Birth is God's will. Birth is another's work. Number three, birth involves expectation. Well, I remember, you know, and everybody here, you have fond memories of a little baby being born and those 9 months leading up to it and decorating the room. And I'm one of these, I don't like people finding out what they're going to have. And I hope God tricks some of you. I really do. I always say that. And I think it'd be funny. They paint the room pink. And they buy all the little pink things and all the little dollies and all the little cutesy girl things, and then they have a boy. I like that. I think that's exactly the way it ought to be, or the other way around, and because you want to find out. But anyway, I'm not mad at you. I just think that'd be hilarious, and you won't tell me if that really happens. But you know how we prepare. We buy toys, and of course, you know, men, they think they're going to have a boy, so they buy golf clubs and footballs and all those kind of things. And I like the guys that go out and buy drills and saws and stuff like that, and then use them until the child's old enough. In my case, it was a mower. But anyway, little David had a mower when he was first born. But isn't that wonderful? But anyway, there's an expectation right up until they're born. There's all this excitement right up until they're born. And everybody's anticipating up until they're born. Do you understand? That's how it is when you're born the second time too. Because somebody's praying. Somebody's witnessing. Somebody is talking to you. Somebody is trying to convince you. Somebody's preaching. Somebody invites you to church. Somebody has knocked on your door. Somewhere, somehow, there's people praying and begging God, and there's expectation of you being born again.
Look, listen to me. There is an expectation that is even greater, I believe, than the first birth. It's an expectation of our Father in heaven. He's looking for you to get saved. He's anxious for you to get saved. He's not willing that any should perish. It's a soul winner. It's somebody that cares. It's a grandma that's prayed. It's an aunt that's prayed. It's a dad that's prayed. It's a brother. It's a sister. It's someone that cares. Someone who doesn't want you to go to hell. There's expectation. There's God in heaven preparing everything for your life. It's no different than when Brenda was pregnant for David, and we had to get a baby bed, and we're all excited about getting all these baby things, and well, we're not excited, she was excited, but I was excited that she was excited, and we're shopping. Yeah, I don't like to shop. And we're looking for all these baby things, but we're excited. Oh, the baby's going to be born. This is going to be so exciting and everything. Understand, God in heaven, He's anticipating you being born again. And He's anticipating your life. And He's preparing things for your life. Hey, if you think that an earthly parent can outdo God, you got to be kidding me. I mean, if an earthly parent could put little things on the walls and put little hangy things on a crib and could put buy the little swing doohickeys thing and all the bottles and all the other gear that goes along with it and the changing table. And if you think that a human can decorate a room, listen to me, God's got a whole life prepared. I look at God and I realize that God prepared a wife for me when I was going to get born again. God was preparing me a wife. God was starting a college for me to go to. Amen. God was preparing towns where I would pastor. God was preparing people. And there's all kinds of things that God has done for that second birth in my life. And He's done it for your life too. Expectation. It's an excitement. That's why the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner. Because there's so much involved in that. Oh yeah, a soul is saved. A soul is going to go to heaven. But God, it's more than that. It's a whole life. It's a life born from above that God has prepared. Birth is God's will. It's another's work. Birth involves expectation. Number four, birth determines your nature. Notice verse 5. And I love this. He has to explain this to Nicodemus. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Then he says in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And you're born the first time of the flesh, your flesh. You're born the second time of the Spirit and your spirit. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Huh? Birth determines your nature. Look at Genesis 1. Keep your place in John. Look at Genesis chapter 1, which is in the beginning. Amen. Genesis 1 and verse 11. Here's how God said. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." See that? Whose seed is in itself upon the earth? And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. And tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And again, birth determines nature. Everything brings forth after its kind. And look, if your parents are a dog, then you're a dog. Isn't that good? Somebody, he calling me a dog? No, I said if your parents are dogs. Look, if your parents are pigs, you're a pig. Isn't that good? Amen. Now, they're not, but I'm just saying. If your parents are flesh, you're flesh. You qualify. Amen. If you're born again, he said you're born of the Spirit. That Spirit's God's Spirit. And so, who's your parent? Your parent's God. God. Your nature is God's nature. See, birth determines your nature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. By the way, you shouldn't expect a whole lot out of flesh. Amen. Don't expect a whole lot out of flesh. Flesh is carnal. That is one of the definitions, and it's sinful. It's sinful. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and every one of us qualifies. We all come from flesh. All right, but that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit, and that's God's Spirit. That's my new
nature. And I'm born with that new nature. I have that new nature. Look at 1 John 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. Some of you are giving me that look like I think Nicodemus might have given. You know? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And that is the spiritual part of you. That is that part of you that is the spiritual part of that is God's nature. And praise God for that. We're born of the Spirit. So there's part of me that is flesh, but there's part of me that's spirit. There's part of me that can't do right, but there's part of me that can do right. Amen. And that birth determines. You say, well, wait a minute. Are you saying if I'm not born again, I can't do anything right? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Oh, you can do some good things. You can do some positive things. But none of it's going to get you to heaven. Because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But in Jesus Christ, I can do. I can do all things through Christ. And if it's through Christ, it's right. Birth determines our nature. Look, that alone is something Nicodemus. I mean, he's starting to get it, I think. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You say, okay, well, I'll take my flesh and I'll join a church. Okay, you're still flesh. Well, I'll take my flesh and I'll get baptized. Great. You just got baptized. You're wet. But you're still flesh. Well, I'll take my flesh and I'll do good works. Wonderful. That's a great thing. But the truth of the matter is, you still can't get to heaven. Why? Because you're still flesh. And you're not spirit. Number five, birth is a new beginning. How many of you remember before you were born? I know there would be some, you know, like my wife was going to do the psychiatrist. Yes, I remember the womb. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? You don't have a past. Yeah, you ever get around with people and talk about what all you did in the womb? No. You know, the truth is, when you were born, no one could point a finger at you and say you did something wrong in the past. And yet they spank us. Anyway, some of you, I'm trying to help you get involved with us here. You know, a newborn has no past. Now, that's one of those precious truths that I see in birth and the new birth. When I was born as a little baby, there was no record of a past. There was no, you know, nobody could go back and say, well, he had some speeding tickets. No, he didn't. Well, you know, he committed this crime. Oh, he got all these demerits. He didn't do any of those things. I had no past. You know what's exciting about the new birth? You don't have any past then either. That's a great eraser of the past. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Huh? A newborn has no past, but that second birth, no past. God says, regarding our sins, he says, I'll remember them no more. I'll remember him no more. What a wonderful thing that is. Hey, Christian, time for you to cheer up. That's what salvation is. You sit here today and you're lost and you say, wait a minute, you telling me that if I get saved, my past is gone in as far as God's concerned it is? All the sins, all the wickedness, Jesus died to pay for those sins. His blood was shed to obliterate those sins. Huh? And when you're born again, you have no past. As far as God's concerned, my life, my spiritual life, my life as God's child began when I was 17 years old.
Amen. For some of you, you're 9 years old. Some of you are 10 years old. Some of you are 2 years old, spiritually, with God as your Father. You know how the world wants to say, well, you know, we're all children of God. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, if you're born of the flesh, you're children of your parents. If you're born of the Spirit, you're a child of God. But when you're born of the Spirit, you're born. My spiritual life started at the age of 17. How old were you when your spiritual life started? And from that time, honestly, everything in the past, it's gone. It's forgiven. Now, you may have some scars. You may have some things from your past before you were saved. I'm not saying that. Little babies sometimes have scars from a forceps delivery. But you know, as far as God's concerned, God's not going to look at you and say, when you were, before you got saved, you did. He doesn't even remember it. Gone. That's what it is. Our sins, they're gone. Birth is a new beginning. Number six, birth is complete. I love this. I was me at birth. I'm not waiting on another eye. I'm not waiting on an arm. I was complete. So were you. Now, I understand there are birth defects. I'm not questioning all of that. But the truth of the matter is, nobody says, well, 5 years later, I'll get my other arm. You know, well, just a few more years, I'll get my other leg. It doesn't happen that way. Huh? When you're born, you are complete. I was me at birth. Now, me has certainly gotten bigger, unfortunately. But it was me. All I had to do is grow. Same thing with salvation. Same thing with our second birth. At the age of 17, I became a new creature. I became God's child, and then I had to grow. But I was complete. I was who I am at birth. Some religions will say you have to work your way into salvation. That's like saying I'm still being born. Could you imagine a process of being born? It's ridiculous to even think about. Anyone, and especially mothers, you would not appreciate that at all. You know, it's been 5 years, he's still being born. No, you're born. Like that, you're born. Amen. You're complete. You're not waiting on an eye. You're not waiting on an ear. You're born. You're not hoping that, surely there's more. No, when you're born, that's you. And when you're born as a Christian, when you're born again, when you trust Christ, when you're saved, you're complete. You are born again. You are a child of God. Okay? There's a finality there. There's no going back, if you will. You're born. It's just like Nicodemus. Well, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No, and you can't go back. Somebody says, well, the flesh dies. Well, I understand that. We'll talk about that. The flesh does die. But the spirit is eternal. How do you know? Because God said so. Because we're born of God's spirit. And God's spirit's eternal. That's why God says you have everlasting life. When's that begin? When you're born. Amen? It's everlasting life. Well, when's it end? It can't end. It's everlasting. How long does it last? It's eternal. How long's that? Forever. So we know the flesh dies, but eternal life never dies because it's eternal. It's everlasting. See, here's the thing. Once you're born, you're born. Amen? And Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you must be born again and again and again and again. He just said you must be born again. I love that. He even says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And he says to all those religions out there, and there are so many of them, he says, you must be born again. That's it, just again. Not again and again. Well, what if you mess up? Can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born the second time?
No!
Well, what do I do then? You get right with God is what you do when you sin. Well, how do I know? Because He spanks you. It's called chastening of a father. And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Because He loves us. I love that. You know, it's so interesting. I have never struggled with my first birth. How about you, Tim? You ever think about it? You ever wrestle with it? Now, I've given illustration of when I was born. Shortly after that, they put me in an incubator because of Hyaline's membrane and all that. I don't ever think about that. I don't sit and think, boy, that sure was tough. I wonder if it really happened. Was I really born or not? Oh, I got to ponder this thing. You know, as I look in a mirror, were you really born? Do you ever stop and wonder about yourself? Do you ever stop and think about, hey, you know, was I really born or not? And so my question to you is this: why do you wonder about your second birth? Why do you question being born again? Why do you wonder about that? Why do you think about it? Why do you dwell on it? Why do you worry about it? There is no worrying needed as far as our second birth is concerned. It is just a matter of, are you born again or not? Have you been saved? Did you trust Jesus as your Savior? Were you born again? That's the only thing you ever have to deal with. And once you know you were, I have a lot of proof that I was born the first time. You do too. Okay? Here's the first thing you can do. Yep. I'm there. Okay. I can tell you this. Stork didn't drop you. You weren't found under a rock. Okay, you were born the first time. Okay, then there's the birth certificate. That's another thing. Okay, that'll tell you were born. I mean, somebody signs it and they say you were born. Okay? So again, I don't ever dwell on it. I don't wonder if it ever... I mean, we celebrate birthdays. We call it a celebration. When you get my age, it's more of a, you know, mourning time. But again, I mean, you know, you celebrate, you recognize, but we don't ever stop and say, I wonder if I really was. Okay, second birth should be the same thing. Okay, it's complete. Either you are or you aren't. Did you do what God said you needed to do? Okay, here's my fear. My fear is we think somehow God's not going to do what He said He'd do. Well, yes, I prayed. Yes, I realized I was a sinner. Yes, I realized that if I died, I'd go to hell. I realized I needed to be saved. And I called on Jesus to save me, but I'm just not sure. That's like saying, well, yes, I am here, and yes, I have fingers, and yes, I have a face, and yes, I have a body, and yes, I have a birth certificate, and all the proof is there that I was born. But I'm still wondering if I really was. And honestly, it's the same thing. Now, look, birth is complete. Okay? It's complete. When you were born the first time, you were born, period. And when you're born the second time, you're born. And if you got saved, you are a child of God, and you will always be a child of God. Just like when you were born to your flesh parents, you will always be their child. And when I'm born my Father in heaven, I will always be His child. Because birth is complete. And Jesus said you must be born again. Second time. When the flesh dies, flesh is gone. The spirit never dies. Jesus said, John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That life is received when you're born the second time. If you're saved today, you need to rejoice in your salvation. Celebrate your birthday. Amen. And you know, for a Christian, it seems to me like, why wait every year? I'd celebrate every day. And praise God that you're saved. The last thing, number 7, that is this: birth involves travail. And we certainly know that. Your mother went through a lot of pain and a lot of suffering
so that you could be here. Many women will testify it's the worst pain they've ever had. It's the worst pain imaginable. Understand, that's for our first birth. And you know, we owe it to our moms to do right with our lives, since they went through so much to give us life. But I got news for you. Your second birth involved a lot of travail too. If you don't believe me, read John chapter 17 sometime, where the Lord Jesus Christ sweat. He was in such agony over us and over His dying on the cross and over our lives. The Bible says He sweat drops of blood. And He was captured like a criminal. He was beaten. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails and nailed to a cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And you talk about travail over our second birth. All of that so that you and I could be born again. You know, ask a mother sometime. Was it worth it as she holds that little baby? Ask her, was it worth all the pain that you went through? Ask Jesus, was it worth it? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, we owe it to Jesus to do something with the life that is our second birth. How sad that we would be born and waste our life. How sad for our mother. How sad that we'd be born again and do nothing with that life. We owe it to Jesus to do something with that life. And of course, Paul talked about travail in soul winning and in his converts. Being his converts, not only being saved, but growing in the Lord, and talked about travail. Anyone who's been a soul winner, anyone who's ever prayed all night for a soul to be saved, anyone who's ever prayed and fasted for souls would understand the travail that's involved. You know, we owe it to them for not giving up on us. I think about people that witnessed to me and talked to me and prayed for me and begged God for me. You know, I owe it to them to do something with this life, this second birth. This morning, have you trusted Christ? Have you been born again? Are you saved? Do you have the new birth? We all know we've been born the first time. Have you been born the second time? I'm not talking about have you gone through a religious ritual. I'm not talking about are you a member of a church or you've been sprinkled as a baby or whatever. I'm talking about have you been born again? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you and come into your heart and save you? If you have that new birth, then grow and be what God wants you to be. Don't waste that second birth. Because God has all the expectation. He has the travail. His son died on the cross. Jesus, in John 17, He prayed and He sweat drops of blood. He was in such agony over our lives. We owe it to Him to do something with it. I trust that you will do that today. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Obviously, the first part and first question would be this morning. How many would say, "Preacher, I am saved. I am born again. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. If I died right now, there's no doubt about it. I've settled it. I know that I'd go to heaven." Would you raise your hand if you know that today? That is your testimony. You know it. No doubt about it. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to point you out. But I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, I do not know for sure that I'd go to heaven if I died. I've not been born again. I've not experienced that. I don't really know what that is until today, perhaps." You'd say, "I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I'm not sure, but I'd like you to pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come get you. I just want to pray for you. Anyone like that? You'd be honest. Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me." How many Christians would say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I've been born again, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian." Raise your hand. Slip it up. God's speaking to you today as a Christian. Thank you. God bless you. Father, Bless the invitation. Help us to make the decisions we ought to make. I pray if there's someone here who's not saved, that you'll save them today. I pray for Christians who struggle with assurance of salvation, that God, they'd get that settled today. And I pray for each of us that we'd be what you want us to be with this life that we have, born of the Spirit. God, help us to live the way you want us to live. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments play "Just As I Am." God's speaking to your heart today, and you have a decision to make. Do not hesitate as the instruments play. If you need to come, whatever your decision today, you come. Amen. God's speaking to your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you're not sure you're saved, you never trusted Christ as Savior, and you need to be saved today, someone will take a Bible. They'll show you how to be saved. Whatever your decision, come on right now. God's speaking to your heart. Any others need to come join these? Something God's laid on your heart. Maybe about the message, may have nothing to do with the message. God's just speaking to you about something. Something you need to pray about. How you doing with your new life? Born of the Spirit. Well, I'll tell you, the life in the flesh, I did an awful lot. Do you have the same zeal for the life in the Spirit? Are you wanting to please your God, your Father? Are you growing? Or you've been saved 20 years and you're kind of stagnant? Birth, the new birth. What a comparison. Any others need to come? Still time. One more verse. Come on this verse. Right, look up this way. Don't forget 4:30 ensemble practice, 5 o'clock, all the different groups, and also all the different choirs, and then teens meet at 5, prayer times for men and ladies, 5 o'clock, and then our service tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll be looking forward to that. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we do thank you for the gift that you've given to us, and that being our new birth, salvation through faith and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, and the work that he did for us on the cross. And Lord, may we go this morning with that assurance in our hearts that we have eternal life. And Father, that we have the message and the command from you to carry that message to all those we meet. Guide us and direct us. We thank you for a beautiful day you've given us. And we live for you in every moment of it, we ask in Jesus' name.